Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Pony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We are delighted that you are here. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words, the hymns, and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our service with singing hymn number 275. I shall read all the verses before we join in the song, and a reminder that the link to the words of this hymn are on the order of service webpage. Praise now, creative mind, maker of earth and heaven. Glory and power to him belong. Joy of the sun and skies, strength where the hills arise. So let us praise with joy and song. Ages have seen his might. Father, we call his name. Nights of our mourning and sorrow end. Light blesses opened eyes. Joys like the dawns arise as we see him, our God and friend. Savior from death is he, life is our heritage. Mercy and goodness forever guide. Ours is the risen Christ. Daily we keep our tryst and evermore in love confide. Hymn number 275. Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. The topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is the activity of the word. The hymns are 275, 373, and 339. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring again that which was driven away. And will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be your prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, and I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the land of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey of the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, that they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. First Samuel. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Mark. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And Jesus answered and said unto them, What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Matthew. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come again and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if the right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And from Signs and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. To understand God strengthens hope, enthrones faith in truth, and verifies Jesus' word, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God, the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Almighty, all power, infinity, omnipotent. The verity of mind shows conclusively how it is that matter seems to be, but is not. Divine science, rising above physical theories, excludes matter, resolves things into thoughts, and replaces the objects of material sense with spiritual ideas. The effect of this science stirs the human mind to a change of face, on which it may yield to the harmony of the divine mind. The Christian Scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. This corrective is an alterative reaching to every part of the human system. According to Scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case. And he proportionately strengthens his patient with the stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. Tell the sick that they can meet disease fearlessly if they only realize that divine love gives them all power over every physical action and condition. The procuring cause and foundation of all sickness is fear, ignorance, or sin. Silently reassure them as to their exemption from disease and danger. If you succeed in wholly removing the fear, your patient is healed. Mortal existence is a dream of pain and pleasure in matter, a dream of sin, sickness, and death. And it is like the dream we have in sleep, in which everyone recognizes his condition to be wholly a state of mind. In both the waking and the sleeping dream, the dreamer thinks that his body is material and the suffering is in that body. Sickness is a growth of error springing from mortal ignorance or fear. Error rehearses error. What causes disease cannot cure it. The soil of disease is mortal mind, and you have an abundant or scarce scanty crop of disease according to the seedlings of fear. Sin and the fear of disease must be uprooted and cast out. Christian Scientists, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you, either when asleep or when awake. The evidence of the physical senses often reverses the real science of being and so creates a reign of discord, assigning seeming power to sin, sickness, and death. But the great facts of life, rightly understood, defeat this triad of errors, contradict their false witnesses, and reveal the kingdom of heaven, the actual reign of harmony on earth. The material senses reversal of the science of soul was practically exposed 1900 years ago by the demonstrations of Jesus. Yet these so-called senses still make mortal mind tributary to mortal body, and ordain certain sections of matter, such as brain and nerves, as the seats of pain and pleasure, from which matter reports this so-called mind, its status, happiness, or misery. Christian Science sustains with immortal proof the impossibility of any material sense, and defines these so-called senses as mortal beliefs, the testimony of which cannot be true either of man or of his maker. The corporeal senses can take no cognizance of spiritual reality and immortality. Nerves have no more sensation apart from what belief bestows upon them than the fibers of a plant. Mind alone possesses all faculties, perception, and comprehension. Therefore, mental endowments are not at the mercy of organization and decomposition. Otherwise, the very worms could unfashion man. If it were possible for the real senses of man to be injured, so could reproduce them in all their perfection. But they cannot be disturbed nor destroyed, since they exist in immortal mind, not in matter. Corporeal sense defrauds and lies. It breaks all the commands of the Mosaic Decalogue to meet its own demands. How then can this sense be the God-given channel to man of divine blessings or understanding? How can man, reflecting God, be dependent on material means for knowing, hearing, seeing? Who dares to say that the senses of man can be at the one time the medium for sinning against God, at another the medium for obeying God? An affirmative reply would contradict the scripture, for the same fountain sendeth not forth sweet water and bitter. Willpower is but a product of belief, and this belief commits depredations on harmony. Human will is an animal propensity, not a faculty of soul. Hence, it cannot govern man aright. Christian Science reveals truth and love as the motive powers of man. Will, blind, stubborn, and headlong, cooperates with appetite and passion. From this cooperation arises its evil. From this also comes its powerlessness, since all power belongs to God, good. Material man is made up of involuntary and voluntary error, of a negative right and a positive wrong, the latter calling itself right. Man's spiritual individuality is never wrong. It is the likeness of man's maker. Matter cannot connect mortals with the true origin and facts of being, which all must end. It is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness, inseparable from his creator. Being's holiness, harmony, immortality, is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. This progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. These two contradictory theories, that matter is something or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. Discussing his campaign, General Grant said, "I propose to fight it out on this line, if it takes all summer." Science says, "All is mind and mind's idea. You must fight it out on this line. Matter can afford you no aid." The conservative theory, long believed, is that there are two factors, matter and mind, uniting on some impossible basis. This theory would keep truth and error always at war. Victory would perch on neither banner. On the other hand, Christian Science speedily shows truth to be triumphant. All the evidence of physical sense and all the knowledge obtained from physical sense must yield to science, to the immortal truth of all things. This concludes the readings.